Your name was again? Justin. I know I just talked to you briefly. I just wanted to bring you up. I know you're going through something right now. And you're a farmer, right? I don't know how you're so fastidious. You like to be clean and fastidious. You are a very orderly person. You don't like things out of order. You like neatness. You like, that's why you're such a good farmer. There's a cycle to it that just keeps repeating itself, and you love that order. But in your world, in your universe right now, there's something that's out of order, and it's really bothering you. But God is saying to tell you that this is a temporary thing that you're going through, that he is with you. Things are not out of order. He is still in control. He is in order. You're going to come through this better than you were before if you trust in him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Give him a hand. Oh, hold on. Got why I called you up. Pastor, would you lead us in prayer for him? Come here. We're going to pray for you.
Amen.
Prayer worked. Want me to do it? Okay, I'll do it. Thank you, Lord. Father, here's a man we know that loves you and trusts you, Father God. But Lord, all of us come to a place and a time that we just need an extra touch, Father God. It's not that he's doubting you, Father God. He just does not see you now. But he knows that you're there with him, Father God. Father, I pray for just a touch, Father God. Give him a peace as he goes through this, Father God. Let him see that all he needs to do is what is right. Make the right decisions and do the right thing. He knows what you want him to do, Father God. Just continue in this, and everything will be in your favor. Amen?
Amen.
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 Thank you.
All right, let us pray. Father, we thank you that there's joy in your house.
Yes.
We thank you for the praise reports that we received, Lord, and for what you're doing, people that you're moving, people that you're bringing into this world, people that you're touching in a powerful and profound way. And Lord, we pray right now that you would touch each one of us, that you would have a word, just as there was a prophetic word for Justin there, that it would be a prophetic word that Bob would bring forth out of your word today. Lord, may it resonate deep in our hearts. May it motivate us to a closer walk with you. Father, bless this word and bless our hearts to receive it and to put it in action. We ask in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. All right. Esther, would you come up a moment, please? But Esther had a word, and I forgot what you said it was, but I know it was from God, so if you would go ahead and share that.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just felt really strongly this morning that Ricardo did preach a very good word this morning, and
yes,
it was called on trusting God. There's a situation that we went through, and day by day, because Fred and I trusted and prayed and prayed, and then the church backed us up, God gave us manna for the day. We, at times, because we doubt and we fear, and because the lie of the enemy comes into our minds, hearts, and souls, we still walk in that. But God is asking us to take that off and to believe what his word says. And his word says that he's for us and he's not against us. Prayers that we've prayed for, that we're seeing made out, they're being brought out right now. We're walking in those ways, but we think that God's not answering our prayers, but really he is. He's answering them. He's just not answering them in our way. So, and in our timing, yes. He's answering them. He's really answering prayer. God is in complete control of our lives because we gave our hearts to him. So remember, church, remember this body is so blessed. We are extremely blessed. Why? Because you're here today. Because you're here today. It wasn't just by accident. We are blessed. We're loved. We're fearfully and wonderfully created. We are beautiful. We are the apple of his eye. And we are here and in our destiny.
Amen. Thank you. Give her a hand. All right. Let me get suited up here again, if I could see that. Good morning, everyone. Are you two new? You've been here. I've seen you a couple times. You come with Brian, didn't you? God, give me a word. Choose your friends wisely. Just a joke. I've seen him come in with Brian a few times. Just had to get a little jab into Brian this morning, amen, since he's up in class. It was good to have you guys with us. For those of us that were here last week, towards the end of Pastor John's message, he started speaking about sanctification. You know, I was speaking with him this morning about that, that's a sermon you don't often hear, is it? Just think back, when's the last time you turned on the radio or somewhere, heard somebody speak about sanctification? It's not very often. I know Pastor John has several times, but it's something that is a basic part of fundamental Christianity. Without it, Christianity wouldn't work. So why don't we speak more about it? Like a lot of fundamental issues, there are churches that sometimes, I hate to say this, but kind of get it out of order, and it's misunderstood. We had attended a church that taught that is this a little louder? Is it? Okay. Sharon and I, in our earlier days, back when the dinosaurs roamed, went to a church that taught sanctification was something that all you had to do was pray for. You get prayers from the elders, from the pastor and everything, and you would be sanctified. You would not have to worry ever again. Does anybody know anybody that that's worked on? Because if you did, I want to go get some prayer like that. Of course not, because that's not a biblical truth. The biblical truth, like Pastor John said last week, sanctification is a process. A process is something that's ongoing, right? He used the analogy, when you look in the mirror, you don't see yourself change. But if somebody's seen you that hadn't seen you in, say, 20 years, you're going to look different. You may have put on a couple pounds, lost a little hair. You're going to look different, right? To them, it's very stark when they see that. Like if you see a kid that's 10 years old, you don't see him for 8 years. That's not long. But now he's 18. You might not even hardly recognize him, right? But to that child, nothing's changed because it was so slow and incremental that every day he would look in the mirror and it'd be just the slightest change. So over time, he does not notice that. And that's the same way in our lives. Sometimes we don't see God working in our lives. We're wondering where God is. Why haven't I changed? Why haven't I overcome this? When really, if you could see yourself not only through God's eyes, but other people's eyes, what an amazing change. And I think we need to share that with each other. I've been a member of this church 31 years. And I'm one of the newcomers. There's people who have been here 40 years and more. Those are the people to ask, say, man, when I come here 18 years ago. Fred, how long you guys been here? 15? Really? That long? 18? Okay, well, I don't want to start an argument. Okay. You were 15, yeah. Has anybody here seen a change in Fred and Esther in 15 years? Yes. Is Carmen here today? Carmen? She's teaching? Anybody seen a change in Carmen and Ray's life?
Yes.
I remember the first time we went over to Ray's house to pray for him, I think he wouldn't even come out and talk to us. Not that I don't blame you for that. Two people like me and Pastor John come to your door, but we prayed through you through the door. You were very shy. You had a problem being around people. Now look, do we serve a guy that has a sense of humor? Puts you up on stage singing, right? Putting you out in the front. That's where you've always belonged. It was the enemy that was trying to stop you. But sometimes we don't see this growth in ourselves that's there. So we need to share that with each other. When was the last time you told Ray how glad you were, the progress you've seen in his life, what a blessing he's been to you, right? Share that. We all need a building up, correct? All right. I said we're going to talk about sanctification. You don't want to know what I think of sanctification. What you want to know is what God thinks of sanctification. And we're going to take a look at what God says. If you will turn with me, we commandeered a young lady up there with the screen for the notes today. Gloria, we certainly miss you, right? But we traded you in for somebody younger. I'm sorry, that happens. She's got two good legs, you know. But we know you'll be back, better than ever. Amen? Amen. All right. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. I've got a lot to go through here. Pastor John pulled one of my favorite tricks I use on the guys upstairs that are teaching. Well, you know, we don't want to miss anything that you have to say. You know, we know that you got a word from God, so if you don't get through, you can come back next week. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the trust he puts in me to bring me up here. He doesn't just lightly open this pew, because he has to answer for who he lets come up here. And I take that very sacred thing and very honorable thing, and I appreciate just the trust that he puts in me to bring me up here. So I try as much as I can to be careful in what I say. It doesn't always work, does it, Pastor? But I try. But if you look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23, also I have notes in the back. I have a lot of scriptures. Normally I don't use quite this many scriptures, but this is something very important. This is a fundamental piece, cornerstone within our Christian walk that we need to really take heed to and think about more. So I've got notes back there, so if you get lost, I go too fast, I just get bewilder you, I bewilder myself sometimes, there's a set of notes back there, all right? All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of Jesus Christ. This verse tells us two important things. Sanctification comes through what? Through God. God is the one that does it. And secondly, why? Kept blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. One day, every one of us will stand in front of him. Right? Every one of us, saved, unsaved, tall, short, pretty, ugly, I don't care. You're going to stand in front of him one day. And what's more important than what he says to you? Job well done, or he opens that red door? What is more important than that? Because there's only two choices, heaven and hell. And once you're in either one, you can't get out. You're in hell forever. You're in heaven, thank God, you're in heaven forever, right? I've often said, I don't care if I'm the last one in, pants are on fire, I'm the happiest man there ever was, right? Because look at the alternative. There is no choice, is there? If I have to stand by the door like being in a concert, all crowded up against the wall, I'm still happy. Because I don't want the alternative. And that's why the process of sanctification is so important. To get us ready to stand in front of him. Right? We may not be perfect, but it says we'll be blameless. Because we're learning certain things like forgiveness. Asking for forgiveness, right? Trying harder. Trying more. That's all God wants. Try your best. Are you going to be perfect? No. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Now this adds on to it two things. Sanctifying work of what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is involved in everything in our lives this day. If you're a Christian, you better have the Holy Spirit. Or you're fighting blind, right? Anybody want to get in a sword fight with a blindfold on? No. But it's through the Holy Spirit that we're being sanctified. And through belief in the truth. What's the truth? The Word of God. There is no other truth, right? If it's not in the Word, it's not true. If it goes against the Word, it's not true. If it's in there, it's true. Right? Simple. There's two processes. Sanctification through the Holy Spirit. Now, that's God's part. Right? Okay, don't worry about that. God has that under control. It's the second part that we have to do through what? Learning God's word and what? Walking it out. God is not going to give you a magic pill to take and you're blameless, you're sanctified. No, this is a process that we have to work out ourselves. And that's what we're going to discuss mainly this morning is what we have to do. God has his part, but do we have our part? We'll see. Try to lay a little bit of groundwork here. 1 Peter 1:2. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Again, it says through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. That's God's part, right? If you don't have the Holy Spirit, please come up here at the end and get some prayer. All right? We'll have a prayer team up here. They'll be more than willing to pray for you, but that is the most important aspect after salvation. The next building block is the Holy Spirit, right? And then John 17:17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Like I said earlier, the truth is God's word, right? What are we listening to right now? God's word. You're not listening to Bob Cassidy. I wish I could be that smart. I'm not by a long shot. But you know what? I'm smart enough to know where to go get the truth, right? That's what counts. I'm not as great as memorizing verses like Pastor Don. He's like a machine gun. Blah, 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 blah. Spit them out like that. Ones I don't know, I can always look up, right? But we have that ability, right? Used to have to carry the Bible around. Now it's all on your telephone. Pretty soon they'll implant something in our brain. We'll just close our eyes and there's a picture of the word. Technology is good when it's used for the right purpose, which is God's purpose, right? Technology isn't evil. It's people that are evil, and they take good things and make it bad, right? Anything, it's so much easier now to do a teaching than it was back when I first tried. We were looking through some, my wife's mother passed away here a while back. We were looking through some old pictures. I come across a picture in Pastor John's basement with myself, and Kenny O'Rourke was, I think, 18. You know, that's how long that's been. But I remember the first time at that homing he'd asked me to do a teaching. I had like 20 books and encyclopedias laid out all over the floor. You know, you'd have to jump one for the other. I'd have to handwrite something down and take these notes. Now, then you couldn't read my writing. Thank you. Reformed hieroglyphics is what Pastor Don calls my writing. But the point is, it's so much easier to do it now. Technology can be good, right? It wouldn't have been here unless God wanted it to be here. Use it, but just use it with the right purpose. How many people here have a job? Raise your hands. Good, you're all paying into my Social Security. I love every one of you. You ever go into work and they have a list of things they want you to do? Here's your assignment for the day. Here's the things to do list. Men, we are famous for always joking about the one that our wife gives us, a honey-do list. I mean, you wouldn't believe mine. You remember the old days when they had the adding machines and they had like a roll of paper that would roll out for a mile? That's my list. Things to do list, right? We hear that, we cringe sometimes. Oh, my goodness. I knock off one and somehow two more get added at the end. I haven't quite figured that out. But really, men, we do the same thing. When I was working, as I was leaving, there's a lot of things that had to be done of a day that I couldn't do. I'd be at work. So I'd leave the wife a list. Would you call this? Would you take care of this? Would you do this, right? So they have the honey-do list just as well. But those lists are important because why? They're things that need to be taken care of. It's advantageous for do it. It builds us up. It helps us to pay bills on time, to go get this done, that done, right? To-do lists are not a bad thing. And that's what I have kind of devised here for us today. I call it a Christian to-do list. You remember I said sanctification is an ongoing process between God and ourselves, right? God has his part down. It's our part that we're going to work on. So this Christian to-do list is what we need to do to work on our sanctification. How many people want to be a better Christian? Okay, if you don't, just go ahead home now. But if you want to be a better Christian, let's take a look at how we can help God with this process of sanctification. First, I think I have six things down here. I could have put 100, but honestly, if we can do six, we're doing good, right? If we can get these six down, believe me, the process is going to work. The first is get closer to God. I thought that was quite funny. That was the first song you played today, right? Getting closer to God. What a coincidence. We're always looking for that magic prayer, that one thing that'll work in all circumstances. This is probably as close as you're ever going to get to that. Any situation, anything you're going through, and this is a word for you back there, young man, too, in the white shirt. What was your name again? I apologize. I'm terrible with names. That's why my mother named me Bob. Say Bob backwards. Bob. Getting closer to God, I would tell that to anybody going through anything. But it's not the only thing. But there is your starting point. I made that number one. This list is in a pretty specific order, I think. I made this order, not God. But there's without a doubt that getting closer to God is the most important thing we can do, the best thing for us. Amen? James 4:8. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. In other words, he's going to meet us halfway, right? God isn't standing here and say, Ray, this is God. Come here. I'll wait here. You come here. No. God is meeting us halfway. As we're walking, he's walking towards us. That's how much he loves us. He wants us to succeed. He's going out of his way, but we need to go out of our way. As I said, I guarantee you, God's going to keep his end. It's our end that we're worried about. And I've said this many times. Every time we read something, every promise from God has a condition. Okay? This verse. What's the promise? Come near to me and I will come near to you. Great. Right? So I can just sit here and wallow in my pity and play with my sin and God's going to come near to me. No. What's the condition? The very next sentence. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. Right? We have a part to play in this entire process. God promises something and tells us what we need to do to get that promise. Amen? So it's not a one-sided deal. Don't blame God if you're not where you want to be. Try harder. He'll work with you. He'll meet you halfway. Matthew 14, 28 through 31. Everybody knows this story. Peter walking on the water, right? Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me! Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand. Is that what it says? Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. He didn't say he walked over to him and then reached out his hand. He was right there. When he told him to come, Jesus did not stop. He kept walking towards him. As Peter took a step, he took a step. They were that close when he started to sink. He was right there. I don't care what you're sinking in, God's got your back. All right? He's right there. As you take a step, he'll take a step. Zechariah, chapter 1, verse 3. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Return to me. He didn't leave them, did he? They left him. We've left him. We return to him. Sometimes we have to take the first step, right? It says, return to me. And then what does it say? I will return to you. You take that first step, I'll take the step. You take another step, I'll take another step, right? That's how we get closer to God, step by step. I think that was an old Abbott and Costello. Where's Pastor Don? That's an old Abbott and Costello, is it? Step by step, Niagara Falls, slowly. Most people are way too young to know that. Let me go on. Psalm chapter 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. There's that word truth again. Let's see, look at this verse. This verse is what? A promise as well. The Lord is near to all who call on him. Is that a promise? It is. But there too is a condition. What's the second part say? To all who call on him in truth. We read a moment ago that truth is what? God's word. There is no other truth than God and God's word, right? So there's a condition. Why do we want to grow? Why do we want to come closer to God? You know, honestly, most of us don't. Why? Man, we get closer to God, he sees my sin, right? Hello? He knew your sin before you were born. He knows the sin you're going to do next week. You know, it didn't do Adam any good to go hide, did it? You think God didn't know where he was when he said, Adam, where are you? He knew where he was, right? It's Adam that didn't know where he was. It's the enemy that is trying to keep you away from God. Because if you have a problem, you're in sin, where do you need to be? With God. That's the only way to get rid of it. He's the only one that can get rid of it. So what do? We run from him. Make a lot of sense? But honestly now, don't we do that? We don't like to see our sin, but the first thing you need to get rid of any sin, you first have to recognize it and know it's there. It's like going to a doctor. I had cancer. If I didn't know that I had cancer, how could they have cured it? Right? Revelation is good. You can't get rid of a problem unless you know you have a problem, right? And if you wait too late with cancer, what happens? You die. If you wait too late to get rid of your sin, what happens? You die forever and ever and ever. And 2 days after that. It's very serious. I love the story. I've shared this a couple times. I was in Bed Bath & Beyond with my lovely wife a few years back. And, you know, she lets me out. I wander. I'm over touching stuff, wandering around, just looking. And I hear, ah! What in the world? I know my wife's voice, especially when she yells, because I get that a lot. So I ran over there. What, you all right? She said, look, I thought there was a snake or something. You know, what's... No, the mirror. She had accidentally turned on one of those 5X mirrors with a 27 fluorescent light. She said, oh, I didn't want to see that. I didn't need to see that. You wouldn't believe. That can't be me. That's how we feel when we stand in front of God, that he sees every little perfection. Right? And for some reason, we think he doesn't love us because of our imperfections. Did your baby have some imperfections when he was born? Did you love him? She's not God. Think of how much more God loves us, right? He knows we're not perfect. He knows we have imperfections. Don't hide from God. Get closer to him. That's the answer to your problem. Number two. Number two, the second most important thing, next step I think we do need to do is pray harder, fast more. Pray harder, fast more. Second Corinthians 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, do we have any Christians in here? You're called by his name. You're his people. That's us. Okay. Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Again, here is another promise. I will what? Forgive their sins and heal their land. How many people here need a healing? How many people here have a sin they'd like to get rid of? Well, what's the condition? There's a condition here. Will humble themselves, not hide from God. Humble yourselves. Seek him. Don't run from him. Seek him. And turn from your wicked ways. He will answer your prayers. Amen. Mark 9:29. I love this story. This is at the end. Jesus had just been with three disciples up on the mountain. Transfiguration. You can read that story later. What a moment, right? And they come down off the mountain, and what's going on? A big argument. Can you believe that? Right? From the top of the mountain down to the bottom all of a sudden. There's a crowd getting ready to stone the rest of the other nine apostles because they couldn't drive out an evil spirit. Well, you bums, you say you can do all this, you can't do nothing with my son, right? They were not happy. So Christ simply walks over. Name of Jesus, come out. Gone. Demon was gone, period. The disciples didn't say anything then, but later they got with Jesus, and this is what they asked him. You know, at least they had enough sense to do this. What did we do wrong? Why could we drive out that? We're your followers. You say you give us power and authority and stuff. Why couldn't we drive this one out? You know, some demons are stronger than others. Some of your sins are stronger than others, right? Sometimes we can get rid of those big sins real easy, but it's those small ones that give us trouble. We can quit drinking, we can quit doing drugs, but the simplest little thing of getting mad, of being fearful, we have such a problem with. But they seem like a little thing, but they're not. Those are hard principalities. Those are hard things to get rid of, and that's exactly what is being said here. And this is how Jesus answered them. He replied, "This kind only come out by prayer." There's a lot of versions that say prayer and fasting. Actually, I think they were the better verses, my humble opinion. Prayer and fasting. Now, what does that mean? Anytime I need anything, I'll fast breakfast, pray, and it's going to be done. I can go about my business, all right? I had a 5-minute prayer. I give up breakfast. I've done my part, God. Come on, it's all in your hands. No, that's not going to work. What he's talking about is a lifestyle here. What did Christ show us? He was always doing what? I do nothing without the Father. He was always, before he did anything, going off to the side and praying. He was a man that was fasting, right? What we're talking about is a lifestyle. Not one day you need something. Well, today this is your day, God. Prayer and fasting just for you today, God. Yeah, I've got a half an hour. Okay, no problem. No, it's a lifestyle. And this is what we're talking about with sanctification. It's a lifestyle. It's a process of learning, getting stronger, getting more powerful. And we do that by getting more God into us, right? They couldn't have drove out that demon anyway. It was God that's going to do that, right? Something was blocking them. And that's what it was. They needed more of prayer, more fasting. I'll jump to the last part here. Do you mind if I come back next week? Okay, because I'm only on number two, and we're just about out of time. But you've seen a lot of this in action today, bringing people up here for prayer. That's exactly what we're talking about. Hearing about the miracle baby over there, right? That God is still in the miracle business, isn't he? What more builds you up? How could you work on your faith any better than listening to a story like that? That's why I love to hear the people come up and give testimonies on what happened to them, right? Because what? That's testimonies about God's faithfulness. Prayer, we'll end with this real fast. Prayer, if I put my glasses back on, start to read something and take off my glasses. Prayer is what? Talking to God, right? No. Prayer is not talking to God. God doesn't need to hear what you have to say. You need to hear what he has to say. He's not a psychiatrist. You don't have to sit down and tell him your life story. He already knows it. He knows you. You don't know him. When you get time with God, get to know him. Don't talk. Have you ever had a conversation with people like that? We all know people like that. Somewhere. Oh, I didn't. No, I didn't look at you. No. Guilty conscience? I'm just kidding. That anytime we get with them, they just love to talk. My wife, Lord love her, talks me to death. She loves to talk. It's not that she's saying bad things. It's all good things. She'll get me later, yes. There's a lot of people like that. Have you ever had people like that that, you know, you want to... I mean, you had a great conversation, but it's a one-way conversation. All I've done is listen. It wasn't a discussion. It's me listening and okay, right? Is that how we are? Yes, I know, hon. I'll pay for that one. But we know good and well that there are times that we do that to God. We come to him with our laundry list, right? Our need list. And that's all we do. It talks in another part, it talks about going in front of him with prayer and petition. Petition is what we usually do. We sit and tell him our demands, our list of things, right? Our honey-do list for God, right? What God needs to do. What we need to do to get closer to God is listen. Even if you sit there and don't say a word, Pastor Don has said this so many times, meditate on his word. It'll get you closer to him. You don't have to say anything, right? Sometimes the best thing we can do is not say anything. Let God do the talking. Oh, but are we worried what he might say to us? You want me to do what? You want me to change what? You want me to go where? Say what to who? No, no. You must think I'm somebody else. You must have a mistake. Maybe you think I'm Eddie Medrano. I'm Bob Casti. No. Go find Eddie. I'm not going to do that. Get to know him more. That's what to do with your prayer time. And fasting helps to pave the way for this to happen. Right? Fasting is just trying to get a little bit of you out to make more room for God. Fasting is not to make you skinnier, right? Because that part that you empty out needs to be filled up, and the weight of God in there is going to be a lot heavier than the garbage you took out, and a lot better. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to end right here, and I'll be back next week to finish up the other four I think we have. All right, is that good with everybody?
Yeah.
All right, could I have the prayer team come up, please? As the prayer team comes up, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we can do nothing without your strength, Father God, without your calling. Just as your word showed us this morning, Father God, if we want to get closer to you, we want to feel that sanctifying power come off of you, we need to get close to you, Father God. Father, you're calling us, but we cannot even come to you without you giving the strength. Just as Peter says, Father, I'll do this if you tell me to come. Well, right now, God is saying that he wants each and every one of us to change. There's not a one of us here that are as far as we can go in God. Every one of us has something more to give, something more to learn. God wants more out of us. He's kind of like our, as Rico was speaking about this morning, our drill instructor. He sees what we can do. What do we see? What we can't do. I pray that God opens our eyes this morning and shows us what he sees in us. Father, prayer team is here. We pray that anyone that needs that power to step out even more for you, Father God, to learn what you want them to do, Father God, to just kick that sanctifying process into gear again, Father God. Please, give them the strength to come up here and ask for prayer. Father, we thank you in advance because we know, as we've seen this morning, that you are still a God that answers prayer, that there's nothing you cannot do, Father God. Father, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.